We considered last time the passage in Mark and chapter 5 concerning Jairus and his daughter, and how Christ healed his daughter, and how the woman that he met on the way to Jairus' house, who had an issue of blood for 12 years, who touched Jesus' garment and was healed of that issue of blood, was connected with the daughter. How the whole passage pictured the gospel, pictured the death of Christ upon the cross and the shedding of his blood, which was necessary to heal us of the plague of sin that flows out from our own hearts. It was Christ's death which took away the daughter's sin. It was Christ's death which caused Jairus' daughter to be brought back to life. And the daughter that touched Christ, who had that issue of sin, to be healed of her plague. It was Christ's death which took away the sin of his people and clothed them in righteousness and caused dead sinners to rise again from the grave. It's Christ's death which brings salvation. And you, my friend, if you're a sinner, as you are by nature, if you are to be cleansed of that sin, and you must be, then you will be cleansed through the blood of Christ. And you will be cleansed if God gives you that faith to touch the garment of Christ, the righteousness of God, as was manifested at the cross. Has God brought you to hear his gospel? Has he brought you to the feet of Jesus Christ? Has he brought you to see the plague within, the plague of sin which has slain you? The plague of sin which has corrupted you. The plague of sin which flows forth from your heart every day. Has he shown you that you're dead and lost, ruined in the fall, and headed for destruction? And has he shown you that there's hope in that man, Christ Jesus, who came into this world of darkness, into this world of sin, into this plagued world, and who came to save sinners? Has God given you the faith to touch his garment and be healed? If he has, or if he does, or if he ever will, it will be through the gospel. It will be because God has brought the gospel to your ears, as he brought it to the ears of that daughter who touched his garment. She'd heard of Jesus, and she came in the press behind and touched his garment. She'd heard of Jesus. Have you heard? Have you heard the gospel? Do you know the power of the gospel? The power of Christ to cleanse you from all your iniquity, all your sin, and all the condemnation of the law, the condemnation of the righteousness of God, and the wrath of God against your sin. Has God brought you to hear? Have you heard the voice of Jesus Christ in the gospel? If you have, or if you ever do, it will be because God has sent that gospel to you through a preacher who preaches by the Spirit of God, that you might hear and believe. And in the 6th chapter in Mark, following chapter 5, we read something of that gospel being sent forth, and the importance of hearing that gospel. In chapter 5 in picture, the message of that gospel has been powerfully set before us. The fact that we are as daughters dead in the grave who need to be brought to life. And the fact that that life will come by being given faith to touch the hem of Christ's garment and no other way. That's the message. You must be born again. You must be made righteous. You must be cleansed of the plague of sin. You must, by faith, touch the hem of Christ's garment. But having set forth that message and that truth, Christ sent forth his disciples to preach it. And in chapter 6 we read this, "And Jesus went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples follow him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, From whence have this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joses, and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, "A prophet is not without honour, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marvelled because of their unbelief. And he went round about the villages teaching. And he called unto him the 12 and began to send them forth by 2 and 2 and gave them power over unclean spirits. And commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey, save a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse, but be shod with sandals and not put on 2 coats. And he said unto them, In what place soever ye enter into an house, there abide till ye depart from that place. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear you, when ye depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. And they went out and preached that men should repent. And they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. Verse 11, "And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear you, when ye depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them." Similar accounts are recorded in the other Gospels. Luke 10 also records of Christ sending forth disciples to preach this gospel and giving similar instruction. And in that chapter, in verse 16, he concludes by saying, "He that heareth you, heareth me. And he that despiseth you, despiseth me. And he that despiseth me, despiseth him that sent me." Oh, what solemn words concerning the preaching of the gospel. The first thing really that strikes us in this account, where Christ calls the disciples and sends them out 2 by 2 and instructs them how they should go, and then speaks of those that would receive them and those that would not, is the seriousness of the consequence brought upon those places, those cities, those people who would not hear. "Whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear you, When ye depart then, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. And in Luke 10 we read, into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same, and say, even the very dust of your city which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works have been done in Tyre and Sidon, which have been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted to heaven, shall be thrust down to hell. He that heareth you, heareth me. And he that despiseth you, despiseth me. And he that despiseth me, despiseth him that sent me. Oh, how serious a thing it is to despise the preaching of the gospel. What a solemn consequence is pronounced on those cities, those places, those churches, those congregations, those people, those individuals who will not receive those preachers sent of God, who will not receive their message, who will not hear them, who will not hear the gospel. It is more solemn for them than it was for Sodom and Gomorrah, for Tyre and Sidon. Because those that hear God's preachers hear Christ himself. And those that despise those preachers and their message despise Christ himself. And those that despise Christ despise the Father who sent him. It's a serious and a solemn thing to shut our ears to the gospel when it's sent our way. If God sends a gospel preacher unto you, if the means exist for you to hear that preacher, if he comes within range of you, if you can go and hear that message and listen to that gospel and you choose not to, you shut your ears to it, you, as it were, despise it, you ignore it, you go another way, then the pronouncement of God upon you is very serious. It was more tolerable for those cities that would not receive the disciples than for Tyre and Sidon and Sodom and Gomorrah. He that heareth you, heareth me. He that despiseth you, despiseth me. And he that despiseth me, despiseth him that sent me. Then how important, how necessary, how vital that we hear, that we receive the gospel that God sends, that we receive those whom he sends with it, that we listen. Our lives depend upon it. Sodom and Gomorrah, those wicked places, had turned from God and all his ways. They turned to the wisdom of this world and the desires of this world. They turned from worshipping the Creator to worshipping the creature. as Paul speaks of in Romans chapter 1. They turned from the wisdom of God unto their own wisdom. They thought they were wiser than God. They turned to serving the creature, to serving their own desires, to living their lives in order to gain what they could from this world, to gain the riches, the pleasures, the acclaims, the pride, the adulation, all that they could get here below. They worshipped the creature more than the creator. And as Paul says in Romans 1, the wrath of God was kindled against them. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth, hold back the truth, resist the truth in their unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. They've no excuse, and you've no excuse. There's enough revelation in the world around you, in the creation around you, in the heavens and the stars above, in the sun and the moon, in your very life and being, for you to know that there's a God, and to know when you hear the gospel preached that this message is from that God and is true. There's enough wisdom granted unto you naturally that you should know, and to resist it and to turn from it is to turn from God himself. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because they, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonour their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. That's what happened at Sodom and Gomorrah. And the consequence of their turning from God and turning from their own ways and turning to their own wisdom and taking the truth of God and turning it into a lie, taking the truth and corrupting it and turning it into something that looked a bit like the truth but was sufficiently altered to become a lie, they turned from the wisdom of God unto their own. They may have been wicked, they may have been sinners, but you can be sure that they had taken the truth and created a religion of their own lies and their own understanding and their own wisdom, that in their sin and in their iniquity they thought they were very righteous. They worshipped things. They thought they were doing right while sinning every day. And God looked at their wickedness. And God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. And poured down fire from heaven. And when Lot, who was spared, fled from that city, his wife looked back and was turned into a pillar of salt. Oh, what terrible destruction came upon that wicked place who served the creature more than the creator and who had changed the truth of God into a lie. What terrible destruction came down upon those places. And what a terrible warning against those cities, those people, those individuals who would not hear or who will not hear the disciples, the preachers that God sent forth with his gospel. I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city that does not hear you, that does not hear this message. He that heareth you heareth me, and he that despiseth you despiseth me. And he that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me. And you, if you're sat here this day and hear this message, but shut your ears to it and turn away from it and in your heart despise it, be it known unto you that this message, this warning of Christ's, applies to you. If you will not hear his word, if you will not hear his gospel, if in your heart you despise it and turn from it because you seek the pleasure of this world and the riches and the entertainment and the ambitions you have in it and all that you think that you can gain here below, if you're looking for pleasure elsewhere and in your heart you turn from God and turn from his gospel and turn aside from it and despise it, then it will be worse for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for you and your like. This gospel is not to be messed around with. It's not to be treated lightly. It's not to be pushed aside for another day. And those that God sends with the gospel are to be heard. Their message is to be heard and their message is to be valued above all things. There are no riches that you can receive in this world that are greater than the riches of the gospel sent forth by Jesus Christ through those whom he sent forth with it. To turn your back on it, to ignore it, and to ignore those who are sent with it, and to go somewhere else to listen to something else, when God has sent the gospel unto you, when God has brought the word of God nigh unto you, is foolishness in the extreme. Oh, how solemn are the words of the disciples there in Luke 10. When they go to a place and they say, "Be it known unto you, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you." Oh, how wonderful if you're brought to hear their message and believe their message and be healed of your plague and have them say unto you, "The kingdom of God is come nigh unto you." But oh, how terrible if they say unto you, "The very dust of your city which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you." So I ask you this day, has the kingdom of God come nigh unto you? Have you had the opportunity to hear the gospel, the truth? Has the word of God come nigh unto you? And have you buried your head in the sand and gone another way, and gone to another place, and shut the doors to it, and pretended it's not there, in the foolish expectation that all will be well with you in the end? This matter of gospel preaching is a serious matter. And if we don't listen, and if we don't hear, and if we don't receive those that God sends with it and hear their message, oh, what a solemn warning is granted unto us. What a solemn warning. But oh, what tremendous blessing for those who received it. Oh, to be like Jairus' daughter. Oh, to be like that daughter, that woman with the issue of blood who heard of Jesus, who heard the gospel and didn't just hear with the outward ear, but was given that faith within by the Holy Ghost to hear within and to know that here is salvation. That if I'm given to touch the hem of Christ's garment, then I will be cleansed of my plague. What a wonderful gospel this is. That God sent his Son into this dark and evil world. Into this world full of Sodom and Gomorrah. And you see it all around you today. What a dark and evil land we live in. What an apathetic land we live in. What a foolish land we live in. What a foolish people. The vast majority of whom have no time for the things of God. No time for Jesus Christ. No time for the gospel, and no thought or consideration that they are with a plague, that they are plagued, that there is a corrupt heart within them, that they are full of sin, and that one day when their life is brought to a conclusion, they will have to stand before a holy God. Who cares? Who even considers? Like foolish lemmings, they're all following one another off the cliff edge. Like fools, they're walking backwards towards the grave. Their life is gone in a moment. One day they're born, the next they're grown, the next they're old, the next they're gone. And none of them even think. And if they do, if they hear anything, they despise it and dismiss it and laugh at it. Are you like them? Are you so foolish as to laugh at the things of God or laugh and mock at the things of Jesus Christ? He that heareth us, heareth me. He that despiseth the preachers of the gospel, despiseth me. And he that despiseth me, despiseth him that sent me. Oh, are you so foolish as to laugh at the gospel, as to ignore the gospel? As to live your life as though all that matters is what you can see and touch and handle in this world, even though you know it's brief. Even though you've got to 40 years, 50 years, 60, 70, 80 years before you know it. And you know you're stood on the brink of death. You know you've grown old. You know in a moment you'll be gone. Or if you're young, you know that you won't be young for long. And you see young people all around you dying from one cause or another. Soon taken from this world in tragic circumstances. You know the brevity and the fragility of life. And yet you don't think what's beyond. Because such is the depravity of sin within you, such is the plague of sin, that it is like a bandage all around your mind and understanding, that you can't see and you can't think. How foolish we are by nature. But how vital that we hear this message of life. How vital that we who are plagued with issues of blood, that we who are bleeding to death by nature, come and hear Jesus. How vital that we hear of Jesus and meet with him and hear his voice in the gospel. Then how wonderful that God not only sent his Son into the darkness of this world to deliver his people, but he has sent forth preachers with that gospel, with that message. He sent forth the message of life and salvation from generation to generation. From the day in which Christ walked upon this world, walked upon the earth, walked upon the dust beneath your feet. From the day in which he walked here, he was sending forth preachers. And when he departed, when Christ had died and risen again and ascended into glory and departed this world, naturally speaking, he continued from heaven's glory to call and send forth preachers. Generation after generation, every year, every decade, every century, from that time until this time. And this day, Christ in glory is sending forth his gospel by those whom he has sent with it to our day, age and generation, and by that gospel he's bringing the message of his salvation unto the ears of sinners like you and I. Then if you're brought to hear of it, do you receive it? Do you hear those who come with this gospel? If you do, you hear Jesus Christ himself. Or do you despise them, ignore them, bury your head in the sand? And if you do, you despise Christ, you ignore Christ, you turn from Christ, and in despising him, you despise him that sent him. You despise Almighty God, who holds your life in his hands, who is keeping you alive this day, and before whom one day you will stand, and your eternal soul depends upon his love and approval of you. Then what a solemn thing to be found despising the only one in heaven and earth who can save you. But in order that sinners are not left in such a foolish place, in order that the whole world is not destroyed as Sodom and Gomorrah was, God has sent forth his gospel. He sent it forth in that day. He sent it forth in this day. He sent preachers with this message of grace. He sent preachers to find the little daughters that lie in the grave and touch them with the hands of Jesus Christ that they might be healed and live. We read of how Jesus sent them. And he called unto him the 12 and began to send them forth by two and two, and gave them power over unclean spirits, and commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey save a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse, but be shod with sandals, and not put on two coats. And he said unto them, in what place soever ye enter into an house, there abide till ye depart from that place. Yes, he called the 12. And he sent forth them by two and two. And he gave them power over unclean spirits. And he commanded them what they should take and how they should be dressed. Gospel preaching comes from Jesus Christ and from Christ alone. He called these men, the 12. He sent them forth two by two. He gave them power and he commanded how they should preach. They were not called, sent and equipped by men. They were not called, sent and equipped by theological colleges and men here below. They did not call, send and equip themselves. But Christ called them. Christ sent them. Christ gave them power. And Christ commanded them. And it's those preachers we need to hear. You can listen to 1,000 preachers sent by man, or sent of themselves, and be nothing bettered. Like that woman with the issue of blood who'd been and suffered from many physicians and was nothing bettered but grew worse. You can listen to thousands of physicians, preachers, religious men who will claim to be able to heal you. But if they're not sent of Christ, you'll be nothing bettered. You will grow worse. the plague of sin in your heart will grow worse. You'll not be cleansed. You'll not be risen. You'll not be saved. You'll not be blessed. But if Christ sends a preacher to you, if he calls him, if he sends him, if he gives him power, if he commands how he preaches and what he says, if he preaches the gospel through that man by his Spirit, then you will hear. Then if you're God's, you will be brought to hear and believe on Jesus Christ. Or if you're not, then you will despise that man, despise his message, despise his gospel, despise he who sent him, Jesus Christ, and despise the Father who sent Christ. Gospel preaching comes from on high. It comes from Christ himself. It comes firstly through the calling of Christ. Christ called the 12. He calls preachers by grace. He calls them to preach. He calls them. He separates them from the world. He separates them from sin. He separates them from error. He gives them the truth. He reveals the gospel unto them. He reveals that gospel unto them personally. He quickens them from the dead. He gives them life. He shows them and reveals them the truth as it is in himself. He teaches them through the word of God and through their experience what the gospel is. He calls them. And then he sends them forth. He says, go and preach. He sends them forth. And he gives them power. He gave them power over unclean spirits. He gave them power. Oh, what a difference there is in that gospel. Sent of God through those whom he calls and sends with it. What a difference there is in that gospel which comes in power. Our gospel came not unto you in word only, but in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. It comes in power. And it's the power of that gospel, the power that is in the true gospel, that quickens sinners unto life. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. There's a power in this gospel. And God gives his preachers this gospel. He gives them power. What power did these men have? He said he called them, he sent them and gave them power. What was the power that they had over those unclean spirits? Wherein did that power lie? It lay in the gospel. If you preach another gospel, a false gospel, a gospel of the works or the will or the worth of man, a gospel which says you will be blessed if you do this, if you come with another gospel, you'll find there's no power in it. But the gospel which comes of God, which comes of Christ, the gospel of Christ, the gospel which declares that Jesus came into this world to save his people from their sins. A gospel which declares the electing sovereign grace of God, that Christ died for a people and saves that people. Is a gospel which comes in power. That just as God calls and sends these preachers, he calls sinners unto grace. By their preaching, by this gospel. Jesus called them, sent them, and gave them power. And he commanded them. He said, go like this and preach this. He said that they should take nothing for their journey, save a staff only. No scrip, no bread, no money in their purse. but be shod with sandals and not put on two coats. They were to carry a staff, figurative in a way of Moses' staff. They were to carry that upon which they would lean. Not just Moses' staff. Not just a rod to condemn. But a scepter, as it were, of righteousness. A picture of the gospel. A picture of that which divides. A picture of that which, when held up, causes the Red Sea to part from side to side and for sinners to pass through from death unto life on dry ground. A picture of that which brings salvation. A picture of the gospel. They were to bring no scrip, no bread, no money, no scrip, no means of buying things, no check, no money, no legal contract, nothing with which they could, naturally speaking, gain away, nothing which would buy people's attention. But their dependence was to be wholly upon Christ and his gospel. And the preparation of the Holy Spirit before them, who would work in the hearts of sinners before they ever came unto them, to prepare the way for the gospel, to prepare the ground for the seed to be sown, to bring those sinners to the point where they would hear of Jesus and come and touch by faith his garment. Christ was their all. He was their sufficiency. He would provide for them. He would prepare their way. They needed to take no scrip, no bread, no money. They were to put but sandals upon their feet. They were to walk. To walk in Christ as they had received him. To go where the Spirit sent them, to be led of Christ unto those sinners in those places which would receive them. And they were not to take two coats, for they needed not two coats. They had a coat. They had a coat, a picture of that garment of salvation. They only needed one coat. One covering, the blood of Christ, which washed them from head to toe. The garment of righteousness, the covering of the righteousness of God. That was their coat, and that was their message. They would come with their gospel, the power that Christ had given them to deliver unclean spirits from their hearers, to save sinners. They come with that gospel which would make known the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. That gospel in which they would preach of a woman who came and touched Christ's garment that she might be made whole. They only needed one coat. And you only need one coat. You need to touch that garment by faith. Christ was their scrip, their bread, their riches. Christ was their garment. Christ was their pathway. Christ was their all. He called them, he sent them, and he gave them power. And if you ever hear the gospel from a preacher whom Christ sends, that preacher will be sent, called, sent, given power, and commanded by Christ to preach of his garment of righteousness, of the righteousness of God by Jesus Christ. that righteousness which was manifested at the cross by the faith of Christ when he stood in the place of sinners and bore their sins and bore the wrath and judgment of God against their sins, that he should deliver them from the plague of their unrighteousness, that he should deliver them from the plague of their sin, and that he should wash them clean in his blood. Oh, what a gospel! Oh, what a gospel he sends forth! Oh, what a gospel he preaches! And how marvelously does he preach it! How he preached it then and how he preaches it today, it's the same way. Christ himself in heaven above will call, send, and equip his preachers. He'll give them power. Power in the gospel. Power over unclean spirits. Power to forgive sins through Christ's blood. Power in the gospel to raise sinners unto life. And he's all their need and all their sufficiency. Has he come unto you in that gospel? In what place soever ye enter into an house, there abide, he said unto them, till ye depart from that place. If they're sent to somewhere, if they come to you and you receive them, then they will remain. They will continue to preach. They will continue to bless. That gospel will bring you food. It will build you up. These disciples had no need to go from house to house, as it were, seeking money or seeking food. They went for the good of those that heard them. They didn't go with some sort of career, some sort of way of earning money. They weren't sent like preachers today who go to this church and then go to that church and preach here and preach there in order to receive their income and in order to receive their acclaim, in order to make a name for themselves in the churches, in order to progress their religious career. They would go, and if they remained in one place and spent the rest of their days in that place, whilst there were those there who had a need, who heard and who were blessed by the gospel, there they remained. They went to feed the sheep. They went to feed starving and hungry sheep. And where they were heard, they continued to preach. He that heareth you heareth me, Christ said. And he that heard them heard him and was blessed by the power of the gospel. Yes, those that hear receive the preacher. They hear him. They welcome him into their house. And he abides with them. And spiritually speaking, this goes beyond the mere man, the mere preacher sent. This goes into receiving the Spirit of God and receiving Christ by the Spirit of God. If you hear this message, if you hear the gospel, if you hear the preacher, then you hear the Spirit's speech. He that have an ear, hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. You receive and hear the Spirit of God. And you receive through him Christ. When you hear this message, when you hear the Spirit, you hear the voice of Jesus Christ and he comes unto you and he abides with you. Abide in me, Christ says, as I abide in you. There's a oneness, there's a unity that comes in when you hear his voice. He comes in and he abides with you. He makes his residence in your heart, in your house. He comes to dwell. Christ comes to dwell. It's a picture of Christ by his Spirit, by the Spirit of God, coming and abiding in the heart of the sinner. When they hear the gospel in power by the Holy Ghost, they are born again. And the life that enters into their soul is the life of Christ himself, who's born again in their hearts. They become partakers of the divine nature. Christ himself, by the Spirit of God, lives within them, and he takes up residence within them. And that's how they come to believe. That's what gives them faith, because it's his faith that they have. It's he who causes them to believe. It's he who causes them to receive. It's he who causes them to live. They have eternal and everlasting life in Jesus Christ. They have the very righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. They have the bread of heaven from Jesus Christ. They have the water of life from Jesus Christ. They become a stone in his temple. They're built upon his foundation. They are one with him. Then he comes and he lives and he dwells within, and he never departs. He remains there. And this is the picture which is given unto us by his command to the disciples, that when you come unto a place, when you come unto their house, if they receive you, remain, dwell there. I'll never leave you, nor forsake you, Christ says unto his people. I'll never leave you, nor forsake you. He that heareth you, heareth me. Oh, what a thing to be given grace to hear this gospel. Have you heard it? Have you heard it? Because as we've seen, those who didn't hear, those who wouldn't hear, those who didn't care, had a terrible judgment pronounced unto them. Into whatsoever city ye enter and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same and say, even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. If you hear this message, if you hear this gospel, be it known unto you that the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you, and you're answerable to it. On that day when your life is brought to a conclusion and you stand before Almighty God and he says, why did you not believe? You cannot say, I never heard. He'll say, but you heard. The gospel was sent unto you. And my disciples said unto you, be it known unto you that this day the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. Why did you not hear and believe? And you will have no excuse. And the disciples, when they were met with that apathy and that unbelief of which Christ himself marveled when he went about in that place, and because of the hardness of the hearts of the people, they would not receive him. They knew him as the carpenter's son. They knew him as Mary and Joseph's son. They knew him and they despised him. How can this be the Son of God? They saw the great miracles and works he did, but still they didn't believe. They were offended at him. A prophet is not without honour, Christ says, except in his own country. Oh, they despised him. They were offended. They couldn't care less. And he marveled because of their unbelief. He marveled. Whosoever shall not receive you nor hear you when ye depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. The dust under your feet. Oh, what a picture. They shook off the dust under their feet as a testimony against them of their unbelief and of what they are. Because, O man and O woman, because, my friend, however great you think you are or however small you think you are, remember what you are. You are made of the dust. Out of the dust you were made, and when you die, unto the dust you will return. Before Almighty God, we're nothing but dust. Except he's put his grace upon us and given his own son to die for us, and washed us in his blood, and raised us up from the dust, and caused us to raise up in Jesus Christ as princes, as those who will reign with Almighty God, reign with Jesus Christ in the world to come, except he's taken us as beggars off the dung heap and clothed us in righteousness and given us salvation in Christ and washed us clean and caused us to reign with him. If he hasn't, then we're but dust. And if we despise this gospel and despise Christ and those whom he sends with this gospel, they will shake the dust under their feet off against us as a testimony. In Acts 13, we saw how the disciples, in preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, did just that. Acts 13, verse 44, we read, "And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy, and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing ye put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad, and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honourable women, and the chief men of the city, and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them out of their coasts. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them, and came unto Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost." They shook off the dust of their feet against them. What are we but dust? Have we put this word of God away from us? Do we judge ourselves unworthy of everlasting life? If we do, God has others to whom he can send this gospel. The Jews at the time rejected it, and the disciples, the apostles, went to the Gentiles and preached salvation to the ends of the earth. And many of them believed, as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. But these Jews here raged against it. They persecuted these preachers. And they, in response, shook off the dust of their feet against them. Oh, may God open our hearts and our eyes to see and our ears to hear the voice of Jesus Christ. May he open our understanding and pour grace within, that we, like that woman, should be brought to hear of Jesus and touch his garment, that we should hear and receive the gospel when God sends it unto us. And oh, may he spare us from that apathy, coldness, disinterest, unbelief that causes us to turn our backs upon the gospel and go another way and hear another thing. For if we do, then the very dust upon the feet will be shaken off as a testimony against us, and it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for us. Do you hear that? Oh God, give you ears to hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Amen.